The old rule was this: create safe, ordinary products and combine them with great marketing. The new rule is create remarkable products that the right people seek out. Consider the Beetle. The original VW Beetle was not as much of a counterculture car as you may remember. Its sales languished until some brilliant advertising saved it. On the basis of this great TV and print campaign, the car was profitable in the United States for more than 15 years. The original Beetle is a poster child for the power of the TV industrial complex. The new Beetle, on the other hand, was a success because of the way it looked and the way it felt to drive. Good reviews, great word of mouth, and a distinctive shape that marketed it far and wide, these factors were responsible for the new Beetle's success. Every time the very round Beetle drove down a street filled with boxy SUVs, it was marketing itself. After marketing the new Beetle for just 3 years, Volkswagen is now offering incentives, new designs, and other features to make the car exciting again. The purple cow works, but alas, it doesn't last as long as good old TV domination did. So, what works? One way to figure out a great theory is to look at what's working in the real world and figure out what the various successes have in common. With marketing, though, it's puzzling. What could the Four Seasons and Motel 6 have in common? Other than the fact that both experienced extraordinary success and growth in the hotel field, they couldn't be more different. Or Walmart and Neiman Marcus, both growing during the same decade. Or Nokia, changing its hardware every 30 days. And Nintendo, marketing the same Game Boy for 15 years in a row. It's like trying to drive by watching the rearview mirror. Sure, those things worked, but do they help us predict what will work tomorrow? What all of these companies have in common is that they have nothing in common. They are outliers. They're on the fringes, super fast or super slow, very exclusive or very cheap, very big or very small. The reason it's so hard to follow the leader is this: the leader is the leader because he did something remarkable. And that remarkable thing is now taken. It's no longer remarkable when you do it. I don't think there's a shortage of remarkable ideas. I think your business has plenty of great opportunities to do great things. Nope, what's missing isn't the ideas. It's the will to execute them. My goal in Purple Cow is to make it clear that it's safer to be risky, to fortify your desire to do truly amazing things. Once you see that the old ways have nowhere to go but down, it becomes even more imperative to create things worth talking about. One of the best excuses your colleagues will come up with, though, is that they don't have the ability to find the great idea. Or if they do, they don't know how to distinguish the great idea from the lousy ideas. This program isn't long enough for me to outline all of the spectacularly successful brainstorming, ideation, and creativity techniques that are used by companies around the world. What I can do, though, is highlight the takeaway ideas, the specific things you can do tomorrow to start on your way to the purple cow. If you've got the will, you'll find the way. Here's a short case study. Elevators certainly aren't a typical consumer product. They can easily cost more than $1 million. They generally get installed when a building is first constructed, and they're not much use unless the building is more than 3 or 4 stories tall. How, then, does an elevator company compete? Until recently, selling involved a lot of golf, dinners, and long-term relationships with key purchasing agents at major real estate developers. No doubt this continues, but Schindler Elevator Corporation has radically changed the game by developing a purple cow. Walk into the offices of Capgemini in Times Square and you're faced with a fascinating solution. The problem? Every elevator ride is basically a local. The elevator stops 5, 10, 15 times on the way to your floor. This is a hassle for you, but it's a huge, expensive problem for the building. While your elevator is busy stopping at every floor, the folks in the lobby are getting more and more frustrated. The building needs more elevators, but there's no money to buy them and nowhere to put them. The insight? When you approach the elevators, you key in your floor on a centralized control panel. In return, the panel tells you which elevator will take you to your floor. With this simple pre-sort, they have managed to turn every elevator into an express. Your elevator takes you immediately to the 12th floor and races back to the lobby. This means that buildings can be taller, they need fewer elevators for a given number of people, the wait is shorter, and the building can use precious space for people, not elevators. A huge win, implemented at remarkably low cost. Is there a significant real estate developer in the world who is unaware of this breakthrough? Not likely. And it doesn't really matter how many ads or how many lunches the competition sponsors. They now get the benefit of the doubt. The lesson to take away. Instead of trying to use your technology and expertise to make a better product for your users' standard behavior, experiment with inviting the users to change their behavior to make the product work dramatically better.